morning to everyone this morning, and welcome to Healing School for those of you who are online with us. I want to start a little bit differently than maybe we start off before. Mark, would you come on up with me, please? On the 25th of August, I was teaching, and this gentleman, Mark Harville, and his wife, Lisa, were in the audience. Now, they have been coming to Healing School for a number of times, so I'm not saying this one teaching is what did it. But I am going to say, the word implanted in his heart has brought forth a harvest. And I want him to share with you about that today. So he and I are going to kind of have a discussion, and we'll just allow him to share what the Lord has done for him. So, Mark, you and your wife have been... Turn this on. You've been coming for a while now. You heard about it on TV, and you started, and you started coming because you had an issue going on. So why don't you back up and tell them what happened last year?
First, let me speak boldly for him. This is not about me. And I'm glad it's not about me. Okay. Men asked me to share my testimony with you. Just shortly here, I want to just say three things. I want to tell you a little bit of what happened to me last year. I want to talk about how I found the Healing School. And then I want to talk about a particular message that Minton had given on a Thursday that I was here. Last December, my body told me something was wrong. That was in 2021. Didn't have any symptoms. I didn't have any... discomfort, but I knew something was wrong. I was led to my doctor. I went to him locally, and he diagnosed me probably with acid reflux. I knew it wasn't acid reflux. I discussed it with him further, and as in that discussion, I pushed back a little bit, and he pushed back a little bit, and I said, I want a sonogram. He finally agreed to a sonogram, but I had to get him to that point. So the next day at 10:30, I went in for a sonogram. And I noticed the technician was spending a lot of time on this right side over here and doing a lot of measuring. That's what they do on the organs. And I asked her, I rolled over to the right side. I said, you're spending a lot of time over there. And she said, I want you to see the doctor as soon as this is over with. So I knew something was up. So after that, I went to his office. He came in, he was very blunt. He just said, come back at 2:30, we're going to do a CT scan. Same day. Knew something was up. And you can imagine how you feel when something like that happens. So I came back at 2:30, they did a CT scan. Same thing, she said, he wants this read immediately, and you need to go over to his office. I went to his office again, radiologist read it. He comes in, he says, you've got a tumor. And that's all he said. Didn't know where it was or what it was. But I rested in peace. And it was determined that I had a cancerous tumor on my right kidney. I was directed locally over to my urologist. He read it, and he said, yes, this is a cancerous tumor. I've got a doctor friend at Emory that specializes in this on what's called a partial removal. It's done robotically. So we went to Emory. We met with him, and he matter-of-factly told Lisa and I, this is a no-brainer. I can cut the partial of it out, and we'll be done with this. So we scheduled the surgery, and in the meantime, that we were waiting on this to be done, riding down the road, and I saw a church sign, and you can tell the apprehensiveness of yourself. You just don't know what's going on. The sign said, be still and know I'm God. That night, I had a friend from Tulsa, Oklahoma, call me that works for Oral Roberts' group out there, and he said, I got a word for you. I said, let's have it. He said, be still and know I'm God. I promise I wasn't going to get emotional, but it's an emotion of his goodness. So we scheduled the surgery at Emory. I go in at 8 o'clock. It lasts for 5 hours. They insert 8 holes in me, small incisions, and robotic arms go inside of me. And if you look at this table that I'm on, it looks like a spider. I'm over here, and the doctor's over here on a console with a joystick. And you got two other people at stations on joysticks, and they're controlling me over here. And robotically, the robot is more precise than the human hand, the surgeon's hand, and they're skilled. But at this point, I'll remind you of technology. Who made technology in Genesis? He did. He made the present, he made the past, the present, and all future technology that we use, he made it right there. Man just discovered it and uses it in different ways, but he made it. And I was in the technology business. I was in the fiber optic business. So the operation goes, and 3 hours in, he calls Lisa and says, "You know, I've been working on your husband." He says exactly what he said. "I've been working for your husband for 3 hours." And this was a skilled surgeon. He's done thousands of kidneys. He said, this tumor is awful. He said, "Much worse than what I thought." He said, "I can't see the contour the way I want to see it, so I'm going to take it out." So he removed it, which was fine. You got two kidneys, you can live with one. So that's part of God's plan, by the way. All right, so anyway, the tumor was removed. I was in the hospital for 2 days. I could have come home the next day, but one thing stopped me, so I came home the next day. But just think about it. A robot operates on you, takes your kidney out, and you're home the next day. I mean, that's a pretty amazing process. So we got home, and then we went back for follow-up. And when we went back for follow-up, he told us that the tumor was encapsulated, which means it's contained to some degree. There was no chemo. There was no radiation. There was nothing else to do. But he did order a CT scan, upper CT scan on the lungs. And in doing that, they discovered some lung nodules, 4 or 5 in each lung, which was concerning to us. We were in prayer, and we sought the Lord's advice, what he told us to do. And he, by the way, he led us to the right people at the right time. Perfect timing. So we were referred to a thoracic surgeon, chief of thoracic surgery at Emory, Dr. Force. And in doing so, he looked at the scan and said, "You know, these nodules are very, very small." He said, "Most people have nodules. They just don't even know it." He said, "But with what you had with a tumor," he said, if it spreads, it comes up. So that's what we want to look at. So that's what they focused on. And he scheduled me another scan in 90 days. So that leads me to how I found the Healing School. During that wait for my second scan, Lisa and I follow several ministries online, and also we tape ministries. We probably tape 4 or 5 ministries daily and listen to them. One of them is Pastor Andrew Womack. But I happened to catch Pastor Trey, on CTN broadcast, and I was watching him speak. And Lisa mentioned to me that he was a Karis Bible graduate, which was an Andrew Womack college. And that interested me. And that she also said that High Point had a healing school, which I didn't know. I didn't know what a healing school was. I knew what Sunday school was, but I didn't know what healing school was. Okay? So I decided, and Minton, part of his message was, and I'll get to this in a minute, that you do it. So I came over here by myself. I didn't know anybody. Never met anybody. I parked my truck, and I walked through that back door. I came in, and that particular day, Pastor Robert was speaking. listened to his message. And when I heard that, I knew that I needed to be aligned with like-minded people, which is very important. And during this process, I had several people pray for me, never met me, just engaged me from the start. So I listened to Pastor Robert. I came to several more meetings and was intrigued and interested. I heard Minton speak. I heard Pastor Trey speak, Pastor Robert speak. And then as time passed, I was getting closer to my scan date. And I happened to, and I think I'd missed maybe two Thursdays. Minton was speaking on a particular message on that Thursday before my scan, and he didn't even know I had a scan that next day. So the title of his message was, Do You Pray or Do You Say? And the teaching was how to speak to the mountain from a higher authority in Jesus. The teaching explained to verbally command, which I never have been taught that. I will tell you, my wife is a prayer warrior. She's probably a little bit more advanced than I am. But I didn't understand that. And he said, verbally command this cancer to be gone. You do it. Not him. Not you do it. So I did that. I verbally commanded this cancer to be gone. And he, as part of that, you then thank God that you receive his promises. And, you know, the teaching, the little nugget here is, again, you do it. Minton reminded us of our position in Jesus, which resonated with me. I can receive from my Father. We said that three times. And that stood out to me and entered into my spirit. At the end of the class, Minton asked anyone who wanted to come down for prayer to come down. So I came down. He gathered with me. Lisa came down and aligned up with me. And he told me to take authority over this and command this cancer to leave my body, which I did. Minton and Lisa agreed with me. And we received that, his will for healing in Scripture. And I wrote down a couple. I think he used three of these, if not all of them. I'm not quite sure. But by his stripes we were healed. The Lord who forgives all iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Jesus went about doing good and healing, and that we were oppressed of the devil. And I don't think you used that one, but this one I know you did. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that there may be life and have it abundantly. How peaceful is that? So the next day, I took this, and I put it right here. I locked it in my soul and spirit and my mind. I went back the next day to Emory for my scan. If you've ever laid in a CT scanner, probably some of us have, you lay there, you have to be quiet, you can't say anything, and you have to breathe a certain way, and this machine tells you what to do. It's all programmed, and this magnet spins around you and takes an image. It's nerve-wracking. I'm laying there, and my inside of my spirit, the best way to describe it, I'll say it was flourishing. There was heat all over me. I knew that the Holy Spirit was in me. Now, this particular doctor up there is a little bit different than most doctors. When you have these scans, you normally have to wait 10 days to 2 weeks to get the results, and that could be nerve-wracking too. Okay, his policy is when you get a scan, he's going to read it right then. He's just, he's got a good policy. We got through with the scan. He had instructed us to walk over to his office after the scan. So we walked over to the office. He walks in the room, and he says, "Nodules have not changed. They're right there where they were. They've not moved." And he had told us that typically with this tumor, that if you have nodules in there, they're cancerous, they're going to grow aggressively. Well, these have not changed. They're still what they were, still small. So he said, "You're going to come back in 90 days, which is December the 27th, and have another scan. And I will still stand in God's grace on that scan." Okay? So I wondered, Pastor Trey, why they call this healing school? I was talking to Minton about this a little bit. Well, you go to school to learn, to be equipped. You go to school to be an accountant, you're taught by an accountant. You go to be a teacher, you're taught by a teacher. You go to be a marketing person, you're taught by a marketing person. And we have people here that know how to heal that are teaching us, to equip us to do it. When you graduate from college, you go be an accountant. You go be a teacher. You go be whatever. And we can go out and help others. Okay? So that's the purpose, I think, of the healing school. And I call them healing classes because that's what they are. We're in class. And I want to say this to close, really. I've gone over what you spoke of, the golden nuggets of what you presented. But on Thursdays, we were able to have such a quality class. Don't take it for granted. These people, I wrote this down here, that takes a lot of effort, planning, preparation, prayer. And there are probably 10 or 12 people that circles this to make this happen. And Pastor Trey, you don't have to do this. You're not required to do this. You don't have to do this. But this is a mission, I think, of what's happening here. And you do. But there's a lot of effort that goes into this. So in closing, I want to thank a few folks. And I'm going to probably leave somebody out. But I think you all would agree with me thanking the Lord for Minton's messages, Pastor Trey's messages, Pastor Robert's messages, Judy for the music and worship. That's important.
Amen.
The persons who put the audio on the web, the people who put the audio on and streaming content on Facebook. We don't do Facebook, but I was able to log on to the church website, and every message is on that by audio. And you can go to whatever one you want to select and listen to it. And I'm convinced that in meetings, typically any meeting that you go to, church, whatever, you only get about 60% of what somebody's talking about in that particular moment. If you really want to zero in, you've got to go back and study and grab out of that all the little nuggets that are in there and study them and really look at them. And the person who puts it on the streaming content, that's really important. That's a real blessing. And also the audio version. So the teachings are greatly appreciated. And again, I call this a class. I think that's what it is. But that's really what I want to say.
Thank you. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand.
Yes. I'm going to tell you that I didn't see him the week after. It was about a week and a half, 2 weeks later. And he walked in that front door, and I said, "And?" He said, "I'm cancer-free," and just was rejoicing. And when you hear what we're going to talk about today and a lot of what he said, you're going to know that he does hear the Holy Spirit, and the Lord has led him. So thank you, man. Appreciate you doing that. So let me get in to teaching some of the stuff the Lord gave me today. And we're still talking about I can receive from my Father. And what he's asked me to teach today, and think about all Mark said now, is esteeming
the word of healing. That's what we're going to be talking about. So let me go first through a couple of foundation verses that we've used. We've used 2 Peter 1, 2, and 4, which talks about, and I'm just going to read a portion of it. His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And this is in verse 3. Through the true knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these what? These great and precious promises, or magnificent promises, that we might become partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world. Having become partakers, that what the nature of the Lord becomes our nature. And so all the attributes that comes with salvation is ours. We also looked at 1 John 5, 14 and 15. It talks about if we have confidence, we have confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, that we can receive what He has promised us. And that word there, that we have, that phrase literally means to have something, to hold it, to possess it. But there's also a key inference, and that is, and you heard him use this phrase, it means to make room for. And he talked about making room for it in my heart. And then we also looked at 1 John 3, 21 and 22, that says, whatever we ask, we receive from Him. That word receive is lambano, which literally means to take. And so, again, you see these action verbs, but they're what? Things that we do. And you heard Mark say, and this is what I wanted you to really take away from this. When you hear a teaching on healing that really ministers to you, don't just sit back and think, well, that was good. Take it and act on it. And that's what he did. When he came up for prayer, I said, what are you after? And he said, I want to do what I just heard. And I think that is so important that we become doers of the word. So we're continuing to talk about I can receive from God. So let's say that a couple of times together. I can receive from God. I can receive from God. So today I want you to go to Psalm 103 with me as we begin to talk about esteeming the word of healing. Verse 1, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And then verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Now let's just stop right there before we go to 3. Benefits. Most people would say benefits from knowing God. And about the only thing I think most people would attribute it to, even a lot of believers, is going to heaven. And I'm not downplaying that at all. That's the preeminent thing, is to be able to spend eternity with Him. But he begins talking about benefits that are occurring in our lives today. Look at verse 3, and we're going to stop after verse 3. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. So let me address a couple of things here. If you research the word all, what do you reckon it means? All. Does it mean all in the first part, first phrase? All your iniquities? Yes. Now, many people would agree with that. Yes, I understand that. He forgives my sins. He does forgive all my sins. And people talk about past, present, and He'll forgive sins that I'm going to do because of His mercy and grace toward me. So then I would ask the question, because some people would like this to stop there, but it says, who also heals all your diseases. So if this word all in the first one means all, then shouldn't it mean all in the last one? And yet so many people do not believe that. Now, the fact is, not everyone receives forgiveness of their sins. But does that make that verse not true? No. It makes that verse is truth, period. So that is a settled issue. And so I would ask the question, why do we not believe? And I'm not talking about you here, because you here are coming to be able to receive and to go out and minister. But why do we doubt then who heals all your diseases? Why do we think that's something that's not included? And so, do you think that because people don't see this verse as truth, that that might impact some ability to receive in what they do? So I would ask the question, do we see Jesus demonstrating the Father's heart as these verses have disclosed him to us? So let's quickly look at Matthew 4, the 23rd verse, Matthew 4, 23. It says, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness amongst the people. So let's deal with this question. Are there any diseases that are not included in all in Psalm 103, or are there diseases and sicknesses that can't be healed pertaining to this verse? No. All of them are there available. So all the sickness and disease is being referred to there. Matthew 12, 15. Jesus has spent some time with the leaders, and they've gotten very angry with him and trying to figure out how they're going to get rid of him. And it says, but Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed, say it with me, them all. So here we have all diseases, all sicknesses able to be healed, and all people being healed. And then finally, let's look in Matthew 9, verses 5 and 6. This is the account of the man born by four. And they've come in and they've laid him down through the roof. What faith that took by them and the man on that pallet, which was not a gurney like we think of today. It was probably a blanket with ropes tied to the end of it. And the first thing Jesus says to the man is what? Your sins or your iniquities are forgiven you. Well, here go the Pharisees again, just getting all upset. And Jesus perceives it, and he looks at him. And, oh, I'm so glad he said it this way. Which is easier? Which is easier? Saying neither one of these are hard. Which is easier? To say. Now, that's important, too, because we've already seen in this series the importance of saying, even that same teaching that Mark was referring to. And that was back on August 25th, and we're still on this same topic. But which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? And isn't that Psalm 103 encapsulated in Jesus? 103 verse 3, what he's just said. And so, what happened then? When he spoke these words, that man got up, gathered his pallet, and walked out. Might I say it this way? Power manifested when Jesus spoke the word. And let me just tell you, he'll do the same for you and I today. So let's go look at another Old Testament verse. Psalm 107, verse 20. And in all these Old Testament verses, we need to see Jesus in them. So we're going to talk about Jesus in some of the scriptures we'll look at here. Psalm 107, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, you and I would both, we've been taught well, and we would agree that Jesus is the word. First John, or the book of John, first chapter, the first verses talk about that, that he is the word. So Jesus is the word, but this says he sent his word and healed them. So what is one major way that the Father heals? By sending his word. Now we're senders of the word. We'll talk about that a little more maybe in a couple of weeks. But what is he disclosing to us here? He is saying to us here, he's not just communicating an idea to us through words. He's saying, this is how the power comes. Healing comes because he sent his word. So it is a word filled with what? Power to accomplish that which the Lord has spoken that he would. Now, look with me, and let me go in too fast. Thank you, Lord. Don't just look at these as, okay, he sent his word and healed them. You need to get this and see how it applies to you in your life and how you apply it to you in your life. Seeing that word so real inside you. Luke 4, verse 32. He's come to Capernaum, down from after he tried to kill him. And here it says, and this is in the King James, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Now, the word there is actually authority. But what do we know about authority? If there is authority that you can use to stand up and stop an 18-wheeler truck, a policeman coming at him, there is some authority, I mean, some power behind him to back up his being willing to do that. So you can't really separate authority and power. They go hand in glove. They work together. So we see Jesus then speaking words, and I want you to begin to get this concept of his words are filled with power. And we'll build on this a little more. Look at or think about Jesus. We won't even look at the scripture. The leper comes to him and says, I know you can if you what? Will. And he ends up saying, why, of course I will. Touches him, which was forbidden, and then says, be cleansed. Be made well. And it says, and immediately, with that word, the leprosy left. So we see Jesus demonstrating that to us. Think about Hebrews 11:3, and let's look at that. Because what we're beginning to see is that, and what I want you to see and take away from today is that words can create, words can change, words can replace, when we act on them in the right way. But before we act on them, we must esteem them. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now before I talk about that verse, I want to read you two other translations. The Message, not one of my favorites, but I really like the way it says this. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. So it's talking about a realm that has power in it where we don't see what's in it and we don't necessarily see the power. The Passion Translation says that faith empowers us to see the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. So as I said before, words are not just, God's words are not just words that communicate a thought to you. God's words contain power that will bring about that thought that he's trying to get built up inside you and I. So we see in these verses that everything that we see in this building today came from a realm that we can't see by words that were spoken and by power that was released. And I'm going to tell you, that same power is active in you and I today. How can a word given 1,000 years ago, probably 3,000 to 4,000 years ago, by David in Psalm 103, verse 3, how can it heal today? Well, let's look at some scriptures. Hebrews 4:12. And I'm just going to read and focus on the first phrase for time's sake. For the word of God is living and active. Now, what kind of life does God have? Let me ask that in a different way. What kind of life do you share in that God has? Zoe life, a God kind of life that has no end.
So God's nature is no end. And what does that tell us? His word is also living. King James says quick. And if you've ever been one to tear a fingernail or bite it and it goes down into a certain part of it, you know it is what? Alive, because it hurts really fast. So the word of God is living and it's also active. Consider this, the universe. Scientists say today that what? The universe is continuing to increase. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus, it says, is always increasing. Why? Because of what he spoke when he said, light be, and all the things that begin to happen. So the word that God spoke to create the universe, if it's still active, how much more would his word concerning healing for you and I today, spoken thousands of years ago and documented by David? Listen, and let me just remind you too, Revelations, I believe it's chapters 5 and chapters 8, still talks about the prayers of the saints, and it talks about them in a way that indicates they are still active today. Prayers my daddy prayed coming to this church, probably for me, are still active. And he's been dead since 2005. Gosh, 17 years. And he prayed them probably back in 1974. Those prayers, the word says, still come up before the Lord. Man, that ought to give us encouragement not just to give up on something we prayed about 5 minutes ago. And you know, that's why I think, how many times have you sought the Lord on something that is His will? And maybe 3 years later, you wake up one morning, that's it. That's the answer to what I asked a while ago. Those words that we speak are still there and active before Him. Isaiah 55, verse 11. Let's look at a couple of verses that say the same thing. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. Now, we've taught here and shared, and I've shared it, and I know Pastor Trey has, and probably Pastor Robert too, over and over, of what the Lord told Reinhard Bonnke. He had a minister who, operating in great power and gifts, set up to come teach a seminar for him and then demonstrate the healing power of God over in Africa. And the day he was supposed to start it, he went to the hotel to pick him up and he was met by the man with his bags packed and said, I'm going to the airport. The Lord's told me to go. You go do it. And filled with fear, he got before the Lord that afternoon, somewhat angry that the guy had left. And this is what I've read from his own account. And he said, in prayer, the Lord spoke to him and said, my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. Now ponder that. You can speak the same words that he's spoken. Psalm 107, verse 3. He's forgiven all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. And it has the same power going forth. So our words, because we've become a partaker. The very first verse that I opened with from Peter. We've become a partaker of His divine nature. So what we speak, when we speak His word, has that same power. Look at Luke 1:37. And this is in the New American Standard. The angel is talking to Mary, and she doesn't say, I don't believe that. That's not possible. She says, how can that be? And he tells her, and then the angel says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Well, that word nothing there is made up of two Greek words, which means no word. And the Greek word used for word there is the word rhema, which is the what? spoken word. No spoken word will be impossible with God. Isn't that what we just read about him earlier? That all of his words go out and accomplish and don't come back to him void? Listen to some other translation. This first one's Trey's favorite, NIV. For no word from God will ever fail. You'd have to be around here a lot to understand that one. I'm not going to take time to explain it. For no word from God will ever fail. The Dewey Range Bible says, because no word shall be impossible with God. And the American Standard Version reads this way, for no word from God shall be void of power. Isn't that where we started with this discussion? That saying God speaks, he's not just communicating ideas, he's providing the ability to do it. You know, we see a lot of definitions for grace, and you've heard me give a lot of different ones, but the Lord spoke to me one day and said, grace is just really all of my ability available for you. No word will be impossible with God. My. Finally, in Hebrews, first chapter, the third verse, we'll have to read a little bit to get to it. And he is the radiance, talking about Jesus, the exact image of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and he does what? Upholds all things by the word of his power. The reason you don't fly off this earth is because the word of Jesus is holding you to this planet when he designed it and had gravity come into being. And it's continuing to be active for you and I today. So I would submit to you that his words will continue to work for you if we make room for them and give place to them and have faith in them. Now, I'm going to refer to this phrase a couple of times in the next few moments. I have said to you before in this teaching, in fact, I think it was the very first one, that I have come to believe this. What I give attention to, I make room for inside me, in my heart, and certainly in my head. And what I make room for, I'm giving power to. So what I give attention to is what I'm making room for. And when I do that and make room for it, then I'm giving it power. And I believe that pertains to our words as well. What we hear. So I would ask the question then, what do you esteem highly in your life? And I can't answer that. But I will tell you, one of the things you've got to decide for yourself is how do you esteem the active, powerful, living Word of God? You've got to decide what place it holds in your life. And we're going to talk about this as we begin to close in these next minutes. I believe that because too many people come to church to hear somebody pump them up, that they do not esteem the Scripture to a point that it ever has a chance to work in them. And I'm convinced that's why most people remain ignorant and don't see the manifestations of power in our lives that we want to. Hebrews 4:2. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us. Amen. Mark testified to that. Just as they also. Well, who is they? He's talking about the children of Israel there in chapter 4. Who had seen things happen. The Lord told them what he was going to do. And they still ignored it. They did not attend to those words. They did not make a place for those words. Thus, this verse goes on and says, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. They didn't believe it. I would say they believed what they saw and what others were saying in the tribe more than what the Lord had said to them through Moses. So I would submit to you, and you can go back to, you know, some of the stuff we've already said, that unless you believe his words, they cannot. I didn't say might not, but they just can't come to pass. Just in a phrase that I always heard my daddy use, and I appreciate him using versus profane language, willy-nilly. You just can't want them to come to pass. You can't need them to come to pass and expect that they are with great confidence. Now think about words with power creating. Every one of you, who's a born-again believer in here? Every hand is up. Okay? Every one of you have experienced this because you heard the good news about Jesus. And you believed it in your heart. You gave some attention to it, made room for it. You believed it in your heart. And then what did you do? You spoke it with your mouth. So what happened then? You became a new creation. That's a much greater miracle than the healing of a body. That's why I believe the Bible, when it talks about it required more strength to raise Jesus up than we imagine, because he's recreating and taking all of our sins away. And with it comes the healing. But the sin part was the first part. So we've all experienced and seen words that we spoke mixed with faith produced. That's one reason I think it's important for you to speak your testimony, to get it cemented in you so that power gets it in you. So it's interesting. Words mixed with faith. Who took chemistry in high school and or college? Mr. Goodman was my chemistry teacher. I'll stop there. I'll stop there. Yes, Lord, you said say good. If you can't say nothing but good, then don't say anything. So do you ever remember either the teacher or you in lab being given two containers? One contained water and one contained a very, very small piece of sodium. And they would sit there on that table and they would be fine. But if you picked up with a pair of tweezers or some calipers or something and dropped that sodium into any amount of water, you had one whale of a mess on your hands. So they would tell you, don't ever mix these two, because what resulted? Power. That's the same way the Word of God is. How many grandparents do I have here? Grandparents, have you ever taken a Diet Coke or a diet drink and a Mento, you know, those little candies, Mentos, and dropped one of those and mixed those two together? You better back up. And your grandkids' eyes will get back. There's a power release that you never knew was in there. Believers, that's the same way when you mix your faith, a mustard seed amount of it, with God's word, that's the same thing you get. That power resulting from it. Words mixed with our faith. So let me back up then and go close this by asking this. How do we really view his word? Do we esteem it? Do we believe it? Do we say, boy, I wish I could believe it? Do we say, I wish it would work for me like it works for him? Yet with mustard seed faith, if we'll just mix it, this is possible. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. But saints, this is how we've got to attend to this word. We have to attend to it more than we attend to TV news or TV programs, or, I mean, I'm talking about good stuff, or watching the Braves, baseball. None of that is what? That's not bad. But if that is all we attend to,
then we are not fully attending to what? The Word of God. We must give it first place in our life. And that's what I believe this verse is telling us. For this reason, Paul is writing and he says, we constantly thank God that when you receive the Word of God that you heard from us, and I will say with absolute conviction, what you hear here, I believe is the Word of God inspired to be taught by us. When you heard that word from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but you accepted it for what it really is, the Word of God. And we could stop there, and that would be glorious. Oh boy, we've accepted God's word as His word. But this is where I'm going next time I teach, which will be the third week in October. But look at this last phrase. Which also, which is referring to what? The Word that you've believed. Which also performs its work in you. Man, can you think about power being released when that Word is performing its work in you? Let me close with this, and then we'll just kind of plug in the next time I teach, and we'll just pick up from here. And we'll probably call this next one receiving the seed of healing words. Because you know what? Scripture tells us, and we'll use this one next time, so you'll have to look it up or come back, that you are God's garden. That He is going to work. His Word will perform its work in you. You can't soften your heart by yourself. But you, with His Word, working it with you, can prepare that heart so that what you hear, when it bears witness with your spirit, when the anointing on you is the same as the anointing on the one teaching and it bears witness, and you take it in, you attend to it, you make room for it, and then, just like the words that Jesus spoke, arise, take up your bed, and walk. That power will begin to manifest concerning the areas you are declaring over yourself. Now, the Lord showed me teach this a couple of weeks ago. But last week He said, Mark did exactly what I'm trying to teach people. Not me, Him. When you hear My word, attend to it. And when you speak it out of your mouth, things will happen. What He said to me was, I want to do, when Mark came up that day, and I asked, what do you want? I want to do what I just heard. That's attending to His word. That's making room for it. Every one of us is capable of doing that today. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You've given me something to speak today, and I have done it to the very best of my ability to hear You and give You glory for it. Father, I know that in and of myself, there's not anything in this book I can teach with an anointing. But with You, I believe that Holy Spirit takes these words that I've taught and people are implanting it. Father, I could perceive faith and desire. I could feel excitement rising up in people, even hearing these words today, to think, this is what You are doing in me. So we thank You for that. And Father, we ask that those who are listening on the broadcast or on the website audio, that this word will go forth. And we can understand how it can be powerful days from now, weeks from now, even years from now if You linger in Your return, Jesus. So, Father, we ask You to just draw people who need to hear what is being taught here, who need healing. Draw people to listen to what we're teaching here, who have that spark inside them, that desire, but don't know what to do. Of how do I help others understand this? How do I minister this? Who know there's more open the hearts of the people to receive so that you get all the glory. So that Jesus receives all the honor and the glory that he deserves. Father, I thank you. You have borne all through Jesus. You've removed from me, because he took them away, all my iniquities, and you heal all my diseases. Be glorified, Jesus, in this. Father, thank you for your great, great love for us. And it's in Jesus' precious name. Everybody said, amen. Now say with me one more time. I can receive from my Father. I can receive from my Father. Have a great week.